people get up these days. I've already received several emails this morning from people saying, I cannot believe that the Journal Sentinel did not pick up on your story yesterday. I can believe it. If you've been around any length of time, you know that the newspaper has a way of ignoring stories that other people or other outlets break. I guess that's their editorial decision to, if someone else breaks the story, they ignore it. I, as a former news director, disagree with that philosophy. My philosophy always was, if it's a big story, we should go after it, too, and report it as soon as possible. Don't, you know, get behind somebody else on the story. But the newspaper might have a different philosophy. I don't know. I don't care to hammer on the Journal Sentinel. It's not my intent. I'd actually like them to see them pick up the story so that once and for all, we, the media, could put enough pressure on Wauwatosa and or the legislature to assure that these elderly folks in these independent living centers aren't going to be hammered with high property taxes all of a sudden. They should be honored in old age, not taxed into their graves. So I hope the paper does pick up the story, and if they do, they would have my thanks and admiration. Jason's asking, isn't it their responsibility to pick up the story? Well, yeah, I mean, if they're going to be true to their mission, yeah, I suppose it is. You know, they are supposed to be covering community news. But if they pick up the story, great. A leading influential blogger has hopped on it. Patrick over at Badger Blogger has a lengthy post today, and I'm heartened to see that in his synopsis, in his wrap-up of the story, he gets absolutely everything right. You know how sometimes when you hear someone else sum up a story that you've told them, they didn't get it exactly right, and you wonder, what did that person really hear that they got it wrong? Well, Patrick on Badger Blogger got everything right, so my thanks to him. And as you might suspect, I got a lot of email related to this matter. Good number of them coming from you folks who have elderly relatives or who have had elderly relatives in these four nonprofit independent living centers in Wauwatosa. But other people just outraged that, oh my God, we will just never give up on taxing people. People who just, when they're in their 80s and 90s, don't want to be having new tax increases heaped upon them. And to those people, I wrote back and said, yeah, that's why it's important for those of us, you know, I'm 40, I'm a ways away before, you know, I'm 40 years away from 80. But that's why we people now have to stand up for the generation that, you know, made America what it is. We got to stand up. If we can't stand up for the greatest generation, who can we stand up for heaven's sake? So there was a lot of email on it. One of the emails came from the CEO of one of the places that is in danger of being taxed, Hardwood Place. The guy's name is Bob Peters, and from what I hear, he's greatly respected in the Tosa community, and he runs the larger umbrella of Lutheran Living Services. But Hardwood Place is the nonprofit independent living center that he runs. And he made so many great points in the email that I feel I have to share much of it. He tried to call in, apparently, but we had jammed phone lines on it. And, you know, again, my intention is My contention is it's just wrong to start taxing these places, which then need to pass the property tax along to their residents. And in San Camillo and in Harwood Place, we're talking at about $200 a month that they would be taxed on top of the rent that they are already paying. And that goes on top of a big buy-in to that community. Just to live in one of those communities, they had a big buy-in of $60,000 to $200,000. But Bob Peters of Harwood Place says a couple of things here. He actually had 10 points. I'll go over some of them. He says, there's obvious confusion regarding the character of the people who live in a place like Harwood Place, San Camillus, Luther Manor, etc. Our residents are indeed older. The average age is in the mid-80s. Few are younger than 70. Many are in their 90s. A large majority are widows and widowers. The primary reasons for selling their homes and moving into Harwood Place are, and I think this is an important point because some callers yesterday were trying to portray it as though, well, these people just, you know, they're older people, they just sold their homes and they're dodging taxes now by living in a luxury hotel. He makes a very important point here. He says, most people moving into Harwood Place are moving in for one or two reasons. He says, primary reason, a spouse has died and the surviving spouse is unable to keep up with their home ownership responsibilities. Or they're fearful of their potential decline in health and wish to join a continuum of care that will assure that they've got the services when they need them. He says, the assessor and others trying to compare residents of Harwood Place with older adults who remain in their own homes. Here's a few thoughts on that. Essentially, all of our residents would have preferred to have remained in their own homes, but for the reasons cited above, or loneliness or safety concerns, they've elected to move. When they do that, in our case at least, they have to pay an entrance fee, the amount of which is a major part of the equity that they had in their home. We return that entrance fee when they leave or die. It is entirely, in its entirety, as long as the entrance fee that we collect from the next resident is equal or larger to that fee that we're refunding. In nearly 20 years, every single departing resident has gotten all of their money back from Harwood Place, that big fee, that big buy-in that I talk about. However, please note that for the term of their occupancy, they have received no revenue from that money, and it is not appreciated at all. People choosing to remain in their homes continue to benefit from their occupancy in many ways, including ongoing appreciation of the value of their real estate. They remain in their final analysis because they can remain in their homes. The typical Harwood Place resident could not have or cannot. Another point, he says, well, you'd be surprised at how little, if any, profit is made from these retirement apartments, because we had a few callers call in and say anything that any business that's run for profit should have to pay taxes. Any business that's making a profit should pay taxes. This is a nonprofit organization. But he says that you'd be surprised at how little, if any, profit is made from the retirement apartments. He says, we do make an effort to earn revenue and cash flow, but that's used to support other services, unlike our for-profit competitors. We will have to pass these taxes on to our residents, most of whom depend on Social Security for the annual income. And he, too, says the average of about $200 a month means that residents will lose a month or two of SSI payments to taxes. He says, we understand that the city could also tax us up to two previous years under the concept called omitted properties. If they decide to tax us, they could go back and tax them for 2 years. Any municipality has the right, if they discover a taxable property that was for some reason omitted from the tax rolls, to collect up to 2 years past taxes. So they could actually go 3 years back, the way it sounds. I think Medical Center. And Medical Center took that to the Supreme Court and lost. We're unaware of our existence. The whole point is that they can go back. If they discover a taxable property, they can go 3 years back and demand taxes for the last 3 years. But he says the presumption that city officials were unaware of our existence is silly because we've been paying these pilot fees for years. That's the payment in lieu of taxes. Says Harwood Place has been paying them for 20 years. If a tax occurs, it will no doubt be contested by us. That means we have to pay the taxes when due, incur unexpected attorney's fees, works out in court 2 or 3 years down the road.
Yeah, mail.
He also says one of your callers suggested that a tax on these residences was fair because they use municipal services. On the contrary, they use few, if any, services. He says our residents, through their insurance or their Medicare, are paying for ambulance calls and things like that. Of course, there aren't a lot of police calls there. They continue to frequent local retailers and attend church and basically put money back into the community on the other side of the equation, he says. A couple of other things. The entrance fee we collect serves an important purpose. It reserves funds to pay for future continuum needs, such as skilled nursing care, which means these people will not be rushing to collect Medicaid benefits, which, of course, falls on the burden of the taxpayers. Point that some people made yesterday. And he says, we're concerned that some residents will not be able to afford living at Harwood Place, ultimately. These folks are on fixed incomes. Since Wauwatosa is acting on this matter unilaterally, TOSA's facilities would be taxed. Others in other communities would not. So they have nonprofit independent living centers in Brookfield and New Berlin and Milwaukee and Menominee Falls. And he said people would move over to those places, and those places would fill up, and the places in Wauwatosa would be at a disadvantage. So he's just hoping that none of this comes about. And then CEO Peters makes a point about Mayor Teresa Esnes. He says she's been supportive of their mission and has indicated that it wouldn't be too that I shouldn't be too hard on her. Well, you know, she has the power to make a change or at least fight for change in Madison, and she's not. So I'm going to be hard on her until she does. She can ensure that these old folks won't be taxed out of their homes, and I'm going to be vocal about it until she says something about it. And at 7:05 this morning, I'm going to speak with an older woman, Jill Didier, who is also against this tax change and may well be the person who's going to take on Teresa Esnes in the spring of 08 in just a few short months. So we will see what Alderwoman Didier has to say after 7. 799-1130 is the telephone number.